Good singing tonight. Enjoyed that. Thank you, Miss Nikki.
Enter. If you would please take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to begin a mini-series in our evening services. It may take us through the next two or three Sunday nights. And I intend to preach or speak on, teach on, really, teaching with application. I remember when I was in seminary, and they would give us those definitions. Definitions are good, they guide, but remember, anything written by man is limited in its application. And I would always hear men say, well, preaching is what you should do from the pulpit, and teaching, you should do less teaching, more preaching. I find myself doing both all the time. And a sermon without teaching gives no instruction. A sermon without preaching doesn't tell you what to do with it. And so explaining the word and then telling what to do with it is where we're going to go. And I want to speak on the subject of spiritual giftedness. Tonight's message will be the first in this series, and it's entitled Gifted to Serve. Gifted to Serve. I begin to think about, as just some months back, about the issue of what the Bible says about spiritual giftedness. And I've actually had somebody tell me, well, I think all that's a big waste of time. You don't need to talk about spiritual gifts. You just need to get in and serve. But then I come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and the Word of God says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you, what's that word?
Ignorant.
Now, being ignorant is not a sin. Okay, it just means you don't know something. Being willfully ignorant, okay, is foolish. It's rejecting the truth. So if the Word of God says that He doesn't want us to be ignorant, it means He wants us to study this. In fact, there's several passages of Scripture devoted to the subject of spiritual giftedness. It's what we do with it that really determines whether it's profitable or not. Now, most Christians today have heard the term spiritual gifts, but a lot of us have heard it incorrectly, or we don't know what ours is, or we shy away from it. There's controversy surrounding spiritual gifts. You know, what about the sign gifts? Miracles and healing and tongues, interpretation of tongues. We're going to address that. The Word of God does teach that spiritual gifts are given to believers by a certain person for a certain reason at a certain time, and they include certain qualities. And so we're going to look at this tonight. I want to make this statement, then we'll have a word of prayer and start in the study. According to God's Word, we are to seek to understand this issue. God just says, I would not have you to be ignorant. And then the whole rest of the next two chapters speaks about spiritual gifts. So it is important that we understand it, and then seek to recognize our gifts, understand their purpose, and finally, and most important, use them to glorify God. Because if we don't do that, what did we learn this morning? If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like somebody looking at his face in a mirror and not doing anything about it. He deceives himself. So learning is good when we apply it. Gifted to serve. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Help us as we study what it says. Please use me and help us recognize this issue, dear Lord, what exactly it is and how it relates to our church, how it relates to our responsibility to the local church. And dear Lord, I just pray that you would build within us a greater desire to fill the role that you have designed us for. In your name I pray. Amen. I'm going to make a few statements as we work our way through these chapters. The first statement tonight is this: every believer is empowered to fill a specific place in the body of Christ. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have been empowered to fill a specific place in the body of Christ. When you were born, God designed you. You were in your mother's womb. I knit you together. I knew you. God designed you. You are the person you are because God made you that way. But as a believer, you're born again, right? A new creature in Christ. And we're not all carbon copies even in our being born again. We're being formed into Christ's image, but each of us is a unique creature in Christ. Now, look at chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. We're going to develop this. The believers that he's writing to had been worshipers of idols, and they were led in the worship of idols by the spirit of darkness. Now they're being led in the worship of God by the Holy Spirit, and they need to recognize the working of the Holy Spirit. Ye knew that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols. They couldn't speak, they couldn't hear, they couldn't respond, even as ye were led. They were following their leadership. Well, now they have new leadership, the Apostle Paul and the pastor there in Corinth, whereby I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. This is really the work of the Holy Spirit. And prefacing the gifts of the Spirit, he's telling them how to recognize when the Holy Spirit is teaching. The Holy Spirit always does several things. Now, there are churches that blame things on the Holy Spirit. I've heard things blamed on the Spirit before. You know, they'll say, I feel like there's folks that blame disorganization on the Spirit. There's not an organization in the service, and so they say, well, we just let the Spirit lead. Well, you probably didn't stop and make up an order of service is what happened, okay? Don't blame that on the Holy Spirit. Or you don't prepare. Well, I'm not going to prepare to preach. I'll just get up and let the Spirit fill my mouth. Yeah, that's probably not wise, all right? He can lead you in your study if you have the option, all right? Now, the Lord can help. He does help. But the Holy Spirit will always do several things. One of which is that he will always work through revealed truth, and he will always point us to the person of Jesus Christ. Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians and look over at John chapter 16. Now, this is important when we're looking at spiritual gifts, because spiritual gifts, once again, if they're a ministry of the Holy Spirit, they will always, if he works through the Word of God and magnifies Jesus Christ, then our spiritual giftedness should always agree with the Word of God and always glorify Christ, not self. All right? So there's a connection there. John chapter 16, look at what Jesus says about the Comforter. The Holy Spirit had not been sent to indwell every believer yet, but he's telling the disciples about what would happen. Verse 14 of chapter 16, he says, well, look back up at verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. There are people that believe that the Holy Spirit worked the same in the Old Testament as he does in the New. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that while Jesus was on earth, he was there with them. And then he says, I will send one to be with you, the Comforter. Okay? Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, so he's speaking in the future. He wouldn't be able to say that if he was already there. He will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Jesus' teaching ended with the disciples when he went back to heaven. But you know what teaching from God continued through the disciples? The teaching of the Holy Spirit, which God the Father sent through God the Son to his disciples and dwelt them on the day of Pentecost, and then they began to write Scripture. And the Scripture that they wrote was the things that God was teaching unto them. They fulfilled this passage. He guided them into all truth. And as he is the author of Scripture, he always agrees with Scripture and works through Scripture. The Holy Spirit is not going to do something in your life and try to get you to do something that is not written in this word right here. And people try to blame things and say, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do that. I know what the Bible says, but I just feel like the Spirit is leading. You know, there's more than one Spirit in the world. And if the Spirit is leading, but the Bible is denying, it's not the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the Word of God, and He always exalts Jesus Christ, not Himself. Look at verse 14. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto me. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. There is a problem in churches that emphasize the work of the Spirit to the extent that it becomes the focus instead of Jesus Christ. And outward signs and the ecstatic displays and coming under the slain in the Spirit and a lot of that movement, the focus is not Jesus Christ. It becomes something other than Jesus Christ. The experience becomes the pursuit instead of Jesus Christ being the pursuit. And the Holy Spirit did not work that way in Scripture, ever. And He doesn't today. And not only that, but He will only tell the truth of Jesus Christ. Listen to this passage in 1 John. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. So when you hear something from a person, recognize that each one of us has a spirit within us, okay? We are a spirit that is speaking. And we, when we speak truth or when we speak messages, we are either speaking by our spirit, motivated by the spirit of darkness, or through our spirit, motivated by the Holy Spirit of God, okay? Well, if this person you're listening to, it says many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, capital S. Every spirit that confesseth Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not God. There it is again. The Holy Spirit is magnifying the person of God the Son. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, setting up a false Christ to worship another way, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now is already in the world. Even in John's day, there were false teachers trying to get people to believe other ways to God. So there are today. But the Holy Spirit will not do that. And so coming back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, this is how you're going to know the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is that he always lifts up Jesus Christ and tells the truth. Now, beyond his work through leadership, the Holy Spirit empowers every believer to serve in the body of Christ. Most of the time, if people think about spiritual gifts, they think about the man behind the pulpit doing the most speaking. Oh, the pastor, you know. And in some churches, there's almost a reverence to the pastor, almost like a worship to the people in leadership. Some churches exalt their leadership almost to the point where the leadership is seen as over the people. Well, be careful about that. Because as we begin to study the issue of spiritual gifts, we don't see that. See, the preacher is not the only one gifted by God. Now, hopefully, if you have a pastor, the pastor is one who God has gifted to teach. But look at what it says in verse 4 of chapter 12. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's more than one gift, but there's only one Spirit, and He gives different gifts. There are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. Different types of authority. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. One God, one Spirit indwelling all believers, but He does different things through different people. The preacher's not the only one gifted by God. In fact, every believer is gifted in a very special way. Look at verse 11. Every believer is gifted in a special way. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Look down at verse 11. All these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit dividing to, what's the next two words? That's twice now here. Every man severally as he will. See, at the moment of salvation, every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. There again, there are some within Christendom that don't understand that, and they refer to an initial blessing and a second blessing of the Holy Spirit and a filling, and you get part of Him and you're sealed by Him. He's a person, okay? And the way that people work, Okay. He's not a substance. He's a person. When he comes in, when you get saved and you get reborn because the Holy Spirit of God comes upon you. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost." Okay, that's what took place when you got saved. He came into you, did a work, and you were birthed again a child of God by his power. That's completely in you at once. In fact, 1 Corinthians says this, independent of your behavior, he's not talking just to dedicated believers, just to those that are sold out. He says, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit of God, which is in you?" He doesn't ask them whether they're living right or whether they're this many years in salvation. The Holy Spirit of God, which is in you, every believer. In fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, "If any man have not the Spirit of God, he is none of his." The Holy Spirit does not come in installments. He indwells us from the moment of salvation. Look down at verse 13 here in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." When are you baptized by the Holy Spirit? The time of salvation. That's exactly right. And at once you're placed into the body of Christ. "Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free." Well, Pastor, how do you know that he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, "and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." That's what he's talking about. Okay, he comes upon us and then comes inside us. One Spirit. And that's at the moment of salvation. Every believer is indwelt by him, and he gifts every believer according to his will. Verse 11 of this same chapter, it says, "All these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally at his will." And this gift that he gives to every believer is for the profit of the body of Christ. When you have been given this gift by the Holy Spirit, we'll kind of bring out what that is. I'm just talking about how you get it and some of the different facets and characteristics. It's given to you to benefit the body of Christ. Verse 11, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." In fact, spiritual gifts are actually abilities. Look at verse 8. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." That's an ability. Now we're going to parse out exactly what these spiritual gifts are. There's three different lifts. There's about four different categories. And I'm going to hand out a handout to you tonight so you can get that before you leave. "The word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit." Now, does it say that every Christian gets the same spiritual gift? No, it doesn't. Every Christian gives a spiritual gift. Okay, at least one. "To another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles." And these are sign gifts. He's kind of mixing in because this is in the first century. Later on in chapter 13, he writes about the sign gifts, and we'll talk about those, so don't get threatened. "To another diverse kinds of tongues," and I love the way the Bible puts it there. Okay, it's not a heavenly gibberish. It's diverse kinds of tongues, different ability to speak languages. "To another the interpretation of tongues." So these are abilities that are given by the Holy Spirit to every Christian at the time of salvation to profit the body of Christ. And we are gifted, understand this, in a way that corresponds to our role in the church. If you've been given a gift, an ability, it's for the benefit of the church, and it corresponds to your role in the church. Students in school, often when they excel at different areas, they'll be referred to as gifted students, okay? They're gifted. They're in a gifted class. They're advanced in this study, or they're gifted in math, and so they, you know, they can do these other kind of math, or they're gifted in this area. Greater abilities allowing them to do certain things, master subjects, learn concepts with greater efficiency. Now, all of the students still have to study, don't they? Yes, it doesn't remove, just because you're not gifted in this area doesn't mean that you don't have, I'm not gifted, I guess I don't have to pay attention. No, that's not the way it works. But certain ones have an adeptness, and you can recognize it. Certain subjects. Well, I'll put it to you this way. Not in the same area and in exactly the same way, but all believers are gifted in an area by the power of the Holy Spirit at the time of salvation for the purpose of influencing the church. And this is a tremendous thing. Now, spiritual gifts are not some things. A spiritual gift is not a talent. Let me explain what I mean. When you were born the first time, you were given talents. You had the ability to do certain things. Some of you are mechanically inclined. Some of you are musically inclined. You had talents from the time you were born. That's not a spiritual gift. You know how I know? Because you weren't saved then. And you didn't have the Holy Spirit of God. And so that gift that you had was not a spiritual gift. It was a fleshly gift. The flesh can accomplish some things. It is. It can. There are people that are incredibly intelligent today, have IQ off the charts, and they're as lost as a ball in high weeds. They do not have a spiritual gift, but they have a fleshly gift. And every single one of you have both. But talents are not spiritual gifts. Now, talents can be used for the Lord, and they should be used for the Lord. But there's a big difference. We have to let God define spiritual giftedness. And if we get them mixed up with talents, then we'll come up with weird things like, I can play basketball. That's a spiritual gift. Or, you know, I can hammer nails. That's a spiritual gift. No, not really. I always joke about this. My ability to annoy people is my spiritual gift. Husbands, that's not your spiritual gift, okay? Not a talent. And it's not an office. Here's what I mean. There are those who have an ability that might qualify them for leadership. Maybe you have the ability of discernment. Maybe you have a type A personality. I've heard people say before, well, I'm good at public speaking. God must have called me to be a pastor. Well, not necessarily. Because there are many gifts, but how many offices are there in the local church? There's only two, deacon and pastor. That's exactly right. And most of the spiritual gifts don't even align with an office. They just gift us to fill a role in the church. See, having a spiritual gift doesn't mean you're called to fill an office, but it does mean you're called to serve. There's a big difference. And the reason why that's important is because just because you have this doesn't necessarily mean that you're called to the office, but that doesn't mean you should get frustrated. Here's what I mean. I've met women before who are gifted at communication, and they can teach the Bible. Praise God for that. There are some women that are very good at teaching the Bible. But according to the Word of God, are they called to be pastors? No. And they can be gifted in the area of administration. They can have spiritual gifts that coordinate with leadership and teaching and vision and wisdom. But they can't fill the office of a pastor because the Word of God says they have to be a husband of one wife, not usurping authority over a man. And so allowing the Word of God to define some of these things really does help us. There's only two church offices, deacon and pastor, and they don't line up with, you know, what some people have the idea. Now, that's one difficult question. Can someone have a spiritual gift and not be called to an office? Well, yes. Number one, because some of them don't line up, and sometimes people can be disqualified from filling an office. You can be disqualified from the office of pastor and office of deacon. Does that mean you're disqualified from ever serving God again? Does that mean you lose your spiritual gift? No, in fact, you should still use it in the local church. And sometimes churches have fallen down on the job because we ostracize people who have struggled in their past. And we say, well, they can't hold an office, so we must not be allow them to serve. Well, that's foolishness. God doesn't revoke that. It doesn't. That's not in the Word of God. We still use people, just recognizing that there are qualifications for the office and the office of a deacon and the office of a pastor. Now, there are some false spiritual gifts that you'll hear. One is the idea within the Catholic Church has the idea that there's a treasury of merit with God and there's a sainthood and that happens. We're all saints. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're pronounced a saint of God in Him. The second one is some people have the idea that casting out demons is a spiritual gift. The Bible doesn't talk about that. Or natural talents. And then the sign gifts. I did want to say this. There are three sign gifts. And Brother Goodwin, would you please, Dad... Brother Mike, would you please help him hand out those? I have some sheets there, and I hope I have enough. We may run short tonight. I hope not. Whenever I print something out and run short, I always think, oh, you have a little faith. And then I get excited because it means there's more people here than I thought would be. This is a quick list of spiritual gifts, and I've broken them down. There's not an explanation beside each one because we're going to go through and explain them over the next couple Sunday nights. On this quick list, I do have the sign gifts. And when I talk about sign gifts, I'm talking about those that have an obvious external supernatural anointing. Healing, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. I believe that and prophecy, speaking scripture or speaking revelation. I believe that those are sign gifts, and we'll get into why they are, that they're not active today in the New Testament church. They were used for special purposes. They were used to establish the church during the transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. They were used to validate the messenger until the Word of God was complete. Can you imagine if the Word of God is actively being written and you have some guy show up and you don't know where he's from and he's speaking to you as from the Lord, but the Word of God was not complete. It was not canonized. It wasn't done being written yet. And so if somebody's coming to you with a book and they say that it's the Word of God, how do you know that they're from God? Well, if they have a sign gift, it validates the messenger. And then thirdly, the sign gifts were signifying that the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles. Gentiles spoke in other tongues, and it signified that the Holy Spirit came upon the Gentiles and showed the Jews in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit was given to them. It was a sign gift. Well, once those things took place, the sign gifts really drifted off the scene, and the Bible tells us they did. But it also says that they'll be reinstated to a degree during the tribulation period. We don't need to have the speaker validated today. Where is our authority? It's right here. That's exactly right. We don't need to transition between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We're here, right? We don't need to be shown that the Holy Spirit is given to the Gentiles because I are one. And I've got him. Praise God for that. But during the tribulation period, what's going to be gone? Believers are going to be gone. That's exactly right. And then you have the two witnesses come on the scene, and they're going to be performing miracles. They're going to be prophesying from heaven. The sign gifts will be reinstated. So that's the idea about the gifts. Now, I want you to take your Bible, hold your place in 1 Corinthians, and turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Every believer is given a spiritual gift at the time of salvation, empowered, and it corresponds to his place in the body of Christ. Now, taking this a little bit further, I just want you to see from Ephesians chapter 4 some different things. It's really for the benefit of the local church. And if it's for the benefit of the local church, that brings some application. Spiritual gifts are meant to be used in accomplishing the purpose of the church. 1 Corinthians, it said, by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. So the context is the body of Christ, is the church, okay? And here in Ephesians chapter 4, he's talking about gifts of public ministry, but he talks about the purpose for them, and you could apply it to all the spiritual gifts. Look at verse 12. He says, for, they're given for this reason, the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Three reasons. Three reasons that spiritual gifts are given to be used in the local church. First one is perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting has the idea of building up to completion. The word perfect is used when referring to Christians, and what it means is mature, the finished product, what we're called to be. In James chapter 1, it says, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So perfect in that context means that you are everything that God wants you to be. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that's Christians, may be perfect. What does that mean? Throughly furnished unto all good works, able to do what God calls us to do. So perfect, to the perfecting of the saints, is building up the church and helping believers to grow spiritually. That's why spiritual gifts are given, helping the church to run smoothly, feeding the word of God, bringing unity, bringing encouragement, a word fitly spoken when you come to the church and you exhort one another daily, the perfecting of the saints. The second one is, he says, the work of the ministry. Anybody want to guess what that word ministry is related to? What office in the church is that related to, do you think? Deacons. Who said that? Brother Bob. That's right. That word ministry there comes from the same exact word that's translated deacon. It means to serve. Behind the scenes services, preparing meals, providing for others' needs, visiting the sick, service-oriented gifts. Think that, okay? So while one might be communication gifts, orally, the other might be serving gifts behind the scenes, the work of the ministry. And then what does he say finally in verse 12? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Building up of the body, making others stronger, Christians drawing other Christians closer to the Lord. Think of this as exhortation, counsel, advice, words of wisdom. Romans chapter 14 puts it this way. It says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things whereby we may edify one another. 1 Corinthians 14 says this of spiritual gifts too. It says, let all things be done unto edifying. And then the summary, you're there in Ephesians chapter 4. Notice what it says. So that the spiritual gifts are to do this. And here's the goal. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. So this subject of recognizing our giftedness and serving is not to divide us and divide us off. And, well, I'm gifted in this area. Who's gifted in this area? Okay, let's go start our own little clique. Okay, that's foolishness. That's not the idea. I'm just going to go hang out with all the other exhorters. I'm going to go hang out with all the other servers. I'm going to go start a committee of the hospitality gifted people, okay? And we'll just have our own committee. It's not to separate us, but to unify us. Stay with me here. Till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, so it's linked together with knowledge, and unto a perfect man, there's that completeness, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So the goal of all these is a healthy, vibrant, mature church. Spiritual gifts are to be used to strengthen the local church. And you know what that means? It means that if somebody says, well, God's gifted me in this area, so I'm just going to go run around on my own personal ministry disconnected from the local church, they've missed the point of spiritual giftedness. Do you understand? Because God's Spirit is working through the body. And what is the body of Christ? The church. That's exactly right. Not disconnected, but unified. You saw it right there. And always within the context of the local church. For the benefit of the local church. Through the use of our spiritual gifts, the church is enabled to do what God calls it to do. The church is not a building. The church is people. People. There's a tempting idea that really divorces us from responsibility. And that idea is that the church is this cloudy entity that has a responsibility and we hope will do things for us. We are the church, right? The church can't do anything unless we do it, right? In fact, look at verse 16 there in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, from whom the whole body, there it is again, that word body, the analogy, fitly joined together and compacted by that which, what's that next word? Every joint supplieth. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase unto the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. You see how the emphasis is on the building up of the body by the participation of every part. And that's what spiritual giftedness does. It gifts us in conjunction with really our role that God wants us to fill in the body. God has designed us at the second birth with a gift that will fit us into the local body. And through the use of our spiritual gifts, the church is enabled. Now, a tremendous reason to be a part of a local church is to do what God calls you to do. Hebrews, turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. I know I'm having you turn all over the place tonight, but it's the Bible, aren't you? Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 23. Wake up back there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. I just want to chew on this verse for a minute. I made a comment about it this morning, and I'm going to be like Brother Stamper. Pretend I'm preaching to the people that aren't here, okay? I love you, brother. He's so great. But you know this, okay? Let's chew on this a little bit because it completely flies in the face of consumerism. Consumerism says, I'm there to get what I can get. How can this church fill my needs? That's kind of part of it. But if God's called you there, he's called you there to fill the church's needs in a specific area. Okay, you're a part of that body that God is saying, I've gifted you. And man, imagine with me, if you will. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, okay? You get saved. The heavens and angel rejoice. Hey, he got saved. And then the Holy Spirit is there. Okay, I gifted him in this particular area. And God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit are together. There's unity. And there's this church over here, not too far away. And I gifted them in a specific area, in an area where that church needs help. And they begin moving. And maybe I can get one of these people over here to come and invite them. Okay, and they come and invite this new believer to church. And this person comes to church. And God's plan is that they fit into an area where that church is lacking. Because he just gifted them in that area when they were born again. He designed them for it. And it's his desire for each person to fill a role within the body. Hebrews chapter 10, notice what it says, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. God's faithful, we should be faithful. Wow, that's a high standard. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Provoking other believers. Hebrews was written to a persecuted church. Provoking other believers unto love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. But, what's the next word? Exhorting. So when you come to church, I went to church and nobody shook my hand. I went to church and nobody spoke to me. Wait a second. Now I'm not being unkind. But the Bible says don't forsake. Instead, go and exhort. I wonder if there was anybody that came. Now, we do understand that people, and as you're growing up, and sometimes we go through difficult parts in our spirituality, and we need the love of a local church, the body, to help us. And that's what the body does for joints that are struggling. You know, if your hand is injured, the rest of your body kind of protects it. But it's got to be attached to the body first. And as you get attached to the body, then the body owns you, and then the body protects. But sometimes we go to church and we say, well, nobody encouraged me. And God says, you need to go and exhort. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you say the day approaching. See, if I'm acting like Christ and you're acting like Christ, then both of us will be uplifted. God's desire is for us to fill specific roles. We're not going to get through this all tonight. I want to just look at this next verse, and then I'll draw your attention to something and we'll close. We'll just pick up here. Look at verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, I've only got one body, okay? And I have many members. And all the members of that one body, being many, are still one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. That's exactly right. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but I'm your pastor. This is what I believe the Bible's saying. At the moment of salvation, you are instantly baptized into the body of Christ. And you are specifically gifted for a local assembly. Specifically gifted for a role in a local assembly. And I believe because of that, it's God's will that every Christian find a local church to be a part of where they can fill a role. It's not always the same role. It's definitely not always the same role. I have several fingers, but they don't all look the same. And I can only have so many fingers before I look kind of strange, right? There's got to be other parts to the body. There are different gifts. They fill different roles, but all are needed. Look at verse 15. If the foot say, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body, well, I don't want to go to that church. They all do this or they all do that. I just don't fit in. Well, maybe you're what they need. Have you ever thought of that? Is it therefore not of the body? No. Is the ear, shall the ear say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? Now, this is a ludicrous illustration. Nobody's body parts have arguments with each other, okay? That would be foolish. And yet we come into a church, and if we were to apply that to a church, we would recognize that, yes, we are different, and that's great. Somebody comes in here and people go, Pastor, I don't know about them. They're different. And I say, that's exactly what we need. Amen. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath, what are those next two words? Pleased him. So if somebody's different and you got a problem with that, then you need to talk to God. That's exactly right. That gives us permission to be different. It's God has gifted you. And he's pleased when you look at your when you use your gift. Verse 19, if they were all one member, where were the body? Christian, you are gifted to serve. You have this spiritual gifts quick list. I'm not going to go through them tonight. We will do this in weeks to come. I'm going to pick up, let me make a note right here. But we all are gifted by the Holy Spirit. And I think what that should do is encourage us, because sometimes we compare ourselves to other gifts. We'll get into this next week. Sometimes we compare ourselves to other people and we'll say that person is more gifted than me. They're not more gifted. They're differently gifted. But without you, the church can't be what it needs to be. They're already there. But if you're not, then there's a spot that God has not filled yet. And he's trying to. They're more gifted. No, they're not. Because you're indwelt by the same Spirit of God. And they probably don't have sensitivity that you have. They definitely don't have the gifts that you have. Every one of you are gifted. Realizing that, then we take the next step and say we're gifted for the betterment of the local church, to help others, to minister. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit with an ability. And if I could put it to you this way, you're needed. You're not only pleasing to God when you do it, and you bring joy to the local church when you do it, but you're needed. Everybody wants to be needed. Sometimes it's difficult to take responsibility because we're like, man, then I gotta commit, I gotta do this. But to be needed and recognize that, I fit that. And you do. God's placed you here, and I'm glad you're here. And over the next few weeks as we continue to study this, I pray that it will open up. You might already know what your spiritual gift is. Praise God for that. Continue to use it. Let's have a word of prayer tonight as we close. Lord, we thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you would help each one of us to realize what you've called us to do, to represent you, and then to go beyond that, to seek to serve you within the church, to seek to build you up, to seek to always minister in agreement with Scripture, and always to glorify Jesus Christ. We thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for their faithfulness. Move in our midst now. In your name I pray. Amen. If you would stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed, if God has spoken to your heart tonight, talk to the Lord.